Welcome to the hottest new podcast around. Good Things Come in Threes, with your expert panel of hosts, Pastor Jack Horner, Pastor Liz Fry, and Pastor John Brock.
Hello, welcome to the podcast of Trinity Lutheran Church in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. My name is Pastor Jack Horner. I'll be the host along with my colleague, Pastor Liz Fry, and also Pastor John Brock. This is entitled Good Things Come in Threes. We're going to be bringing to you every other week our reflections on how God is at work in the world, how grace is manifested in our lives, and how all these good things come to us in three different ways. And we're really excited about doing that. This is something that we've been thinking about since the mid-year as we began to really reflect on how we might be able to connect better with not only our congregation, but this wider congregation that we discovered that we had as we started to do a lot more work on the internet and through social media. And we've been real blessed by that and connecting with people in Georgia and Ohio and Virginia and really all over the world. And it's just been a real blessing to us. And we wanted to be able to share that blessing with others as well. So some of our goals that we have, we've been thinking about and how we might be able to do that. So Pastor Liz, why don't you share with them the first goal that we have?
Yeah, the first goal is sharing good news. You know, our world is filled with bad news. And one of our goals is bringing some good news, some real good news to folks, especially in times when it's hard to see that good news out there.
I think that's really important to be able to be a positive influence in the world and to do that in a personal way as well, I think is really, really important. So John, what do you think is one of our goals?
Well, we want to try to connect with folks. We want to try to figure out what's going on with your life, letting us know and let you all know what's happening, not only with us as a congregation, but with us as individuals, so that we can all learn a little bit more about one another. I don't know about all of you, but you know, I, as much as my spouse would like me to be telepathic, I'm not. So unless you tell me and I tell you, I'm not going to know about you and you're not going to know about me.
That's really great. In a way, this reminds me of what we were doing well before the shutdowns with the pandemic. And that was our Friends Day lunches that we were doing on Wednesdays. That was really a great opportunity for staff members to get together and to talk about our lives, but also about kind of what was going on with work and ministry and also just kind of talk through issues that we might have been dealing with. So I want you to think of this as being invited into those Friends Day lunches with us. We want to invite you into those conversations where we are talking about the things that are important to us, things that are going on in the lives of our members, and how we might be better engaged in mission and ministry in our congregation. I also want this to be a place where we can grow. I believe, and I know my colleagues believe, that we grow through our relationship with God and the Spirit, and also our relationship that we have with each other. You know, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we want to be a place where love can reign and where we can grow together. We recognize that Trinity Lutheran in Camp Hill is a big church. And so it's really important for us to be able to connect in a more personal way because we know that as a congregation, we have a lot going for us. We have a lot of different ministries, a lot of different programs. You know, sometimes people can get lost in that and we don't want that. We want people, to feel engaged in the life and ministry of this congregation, because we also know that together we can do more. And God has really blessed us as a congregation, in a lot of different ways, with, devoted staff and volunteers, and members that really care about each other and about God. And we want to be able to, do that. So, those are some of the goals that we have in this podcast of sharing and connecting and growing. And we hope you are enriched by this time that we spend together. So the topic of this first podcast is the gifts of 2020. We wanted to be able to focus on the positives of 2020 because we recognize, even as we've talked with one another and with other staff members, that, boy, 2020 is one of those years that we're ready to get through and kind of forget and leave behind. I was noticing that t-shirts have been selling on the internet like worst year ever.
Yep.
And so we wanted to kind of take the challenge of being able to figure out what are some of the real positives that have happened in 2020 and the gifts that we've received. So we wanted to talk about that. So who wants to go first?
Well, what's the first gift?
Well, the first gift, I think the first gift is pivoting. So the very first time I heard this word used, I want to say was probably about a month and a half, 2 months after we heard all of these church gurus, you know, these church growth gurus kind of talking about, okay, what does it mean to be the church now that everybody's online? And how do you do that? I mean, what's life going to look like in the church? And I certainly know from our own experience, you know, the before the shutdown, we had 13 people who watched our online sermon. And after the shutdown, we had, I think it was 380 views. So probably over 700 people watched that sermon immediately following the shutdown. So we learned something, right? We learned that, wow, we're going to be moving into a new world that I could not even have imagined that we would have been moving into, or certainly, let's put it this way, not moving in so quickly as we did.
Yeah, I would say that that's probably, for me, one of the, and I use this word hesitantly, but one of the positive things about the quarantine is that we have been able to do something that I feel that we should have been able to have gotten into much before this in doing our online worship and outreach.
I think the neatest thing about pivoting is seeing how many gifted people we have in our congregation who helped us pivot into doing something new. So many thanks to Danielle and John who helped us pivot so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
That's true. We realize, wow, to do this and to do this well, it's really going to take a team effort. We had people discover their gifts in volunteerism that we didn't even know that they had, or at least to the level that that they actually experienced it. So that made a big, big difference. You know, I don't know how many people realize that are on the fringes of the church, what a difference and how that made it. It wasn't just the fact of needing to do Zoom meetings with a lot of businesses. That was pretty much it. Okay, you're stuck at home. All your work is now going to be online, computer-based, although many people were already computer-based, but all of your meetings now are going to be on Zoom, and physically being disconnected from people. And that was very, very hard transition for us, you know, because I think as a staff, we like each other and we wanted to be able to, you know, be with one another. And at least in the beginning, it was just very, very difficult to do. But then to do everything, I mean, our faith formation had to pivot. You know, how do we teach people? How do we help people grow in their faith? Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, we had a number of events, of faith formation events that actually, I don't know if we would have done it if it would have been in person. I mean, they were really kind of neat. I don't, you know, one of the ones that Linda and I did was we had a happy hour, you know, and how fun is that, you know, gathering with people for happy hour and talking about Jesus. I mean, there you go.
How about our second gift? Do we want to chat about the second gift of 2020?
We certainly can if you don't want to talk about pivoting anymore.
Well, certainly.
I thought you were going to go into your coffee time.
I feel like I do that quite frequently. As Lutherans, we gather around coffee naturally.
I thought that was in the scripture, wherever two or more are gathered, there shall be coffee.
That's right. That's right.
There better be coffee.
I also think we're going to need to work on hand signals to make this podcast really. So another one that after pivoting that we wanted to talk about as a gift was on focusing and focusing on what really, really matters. What has that been for you, John?
Focusing on what matters has been relationships. Many of you, some of those folks listening, I know the two of you both know that my mom moved up here, or we moved mom to Pennsylvania from Florida a few years ago, and she was in an assisted living facility, which then of course went into lockdown. And keeping up my relationship with her became a priority, even more so than what it already was. And it had to pivot, I guess we could say, to try to tie those two points together. But it had to shift in how I was able to continue with the relationship with her. It went from being with her physically several times a week to checking in with her on via phone or meeting with her, having talks with her over FaceTime, excuse me, on a weekly basis. That part of this time for me has been really to focus on relationships with my mom, within our family, within my personal family, as well as within our broader church family. We can't, not meeting together. We've got to figure out other ways to continue with our relationships. How can we reach out? How can we continue those friendships that we have developed over the last months and years? Email is nice. Phone calls is nice. We're used to seeing everybody on a weekly or every other week basis, and suddenly we're not seeing them. And how weird is that? So how can we keep those friendships, keep those relationships, keep those connections going? So we need to actively work on them. Being more of an introvert myself, that's a bit harder for me. My wife is very much an extrovert, and she was bouncing off the walls because she from the other aspect of it, because she didn't have all of those people with whom she had been accustomed to interacting. And so kind of like your online get-together, Jack, that you were just talking about a few moments ago, Mary Ann started to do that stuff on a regular basis. That, I would walk into the kitchen and she'd have her computer up and there'd be like 12 people on screen, and they'd all be, have coffee or whatever, and they'd be having a regular chat. And that's, but to keep those relationships going, those are what help us to not only be human, but help us with our faith life as well. We can try to do things by ourselves, but along that line, from a faith point of view, in olden days, the great hermits, the desert hermits, that were such wonderful and faithful people who lived by themselves, but yet they didn't live by themselves. They lived in community. There would be, half a dozen of them. They wouldn't live together in the same hut or cave or whatever, but they would live close enough to be able to see each other so that they could visually check, is Anthony still doing okay? What about Sarah over there? Okay, I see smoke coming from her cabin, or, she's cooking a fire, and I see Anthony going out to fetch water. So they're okay. So I can continue in my faith life, but I'm checking on them as well. We need to, humans in general and Christians as well, we're called to be in community, to be in relationship with one another.
Yeah, that's really true.
Yeah,
that's really true. I said, oh yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. I said to many, many people, I mean, the COVID quarantine for extroverts is what hell looks like for everybody else.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, just been really, really difficult.
Whereas those of us who are introverts are fine in our basements.
So that's right. You were just in your element. You're in your element. The other thing I found was I got into some bad habits. You know, they closed the gym, so I decided, oh well, now I don't have to walk. I needed to change that and do something different. And I just really realized I didn't do that. I got stuck. I kind of really got stuck and in a lot of different things. Yeah. And I needed to kind of break through that. So one of the ways that I broke through that was I decided to look at what, you know, living in the pandemic and realizing, you know what, time is short. And there are some things that I always wanted out of life, or I wanted to be able to do in life. And I realized these were goals and I just never gave the time for it. And one of the things I've always been impressed with is watching guitarists who can play the whole fretboard, you know, and their fingers are going up and down and, you know, they're just really, hitting notes and just, you know, melodies and all of that. And I started listening to the blues. Really kind of getting into really paying attention to their guitar playing. And it wasn't that complicated, but the touch that they had and the sound that they were producing was just amazing. I mean, it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And so I've been a guitar player for about 20 years, 25 years. And I've mastered the top three frets, top four frets. I mean, I got it down. I can do chords, at least the ones that are up, you know, the top four. And this really forced me to learn how do you do that. And so I started watching YouTube YouTube things about the pentatonic scale and I got a new guitar, a new electric guitar, and I have been having so much fun because now I'm putting in anywhere from half an hour to an hour almost every day.
That's great.
I mean, maybe there's a day or two that I don't get to it, but I have just been enjoying myself thoroughly. Absolutely thoroughly. And I found on YouTube, you can actually find backing tracks for, where somebody is playing like the rhythm section and you get to just go in.
Sure. You know. So, but I think the real question is, how does your spouse, what does your spouse think of it?
She actually enjoys it. She doesn't come downstairs to listen. But she does like to, she especially likes it at the end of the evening where tries to go to bed and it's like, I can lull her to sleep with my awesome blues playing.
Very good.
You know, cause I'm ready for, I'm about ready for the stage. I mean, this could be a new career.
Gotten better. You would your guitar skills have gotten better.
Oh, that they have gotten better. They have gotten better. I see a future podcast coming along. Right, we'll do a musical podcast. You can, play whatever instrument you like to play.
Well, we'll have to have Debbie Wilson and some other Faith X members with us.
Some different people. We could do that. So, but I think self care is really important. Absolutely. Finding those things that make you happy, and doing them. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, self care was one of the most important things. I don't know about all of you, but. COVID made me really anxious. It was the first time in my life that I experienced anxiety like this. And so I really quickly had to learn ways to manage my anxiety. And for me, staying active has always been important. And so I found myself finding pockets of time during the day between our meetings at Trinity to go for walks and keep active. It was my way to manage that anxiety and also to get out and explore my new neighborhood, because I moved to a new neighborhood a couple of weeks before the shutdown. And so I got to become acquainted.
You're glad you got out of that apartment, huh?
I am so glad I got out of that apartment. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that would have been hard.
Not enough space. And now I have more than enough space.
And the projects never cease when you're in a house.
No.
That's true. As we speak, hopefully you can't hear Kyle working on his boat. So.
Oh, wow.
The only thing is, I really wish, you know, I spent a lot of time in my basement last fall, and probably spent about three and a half months finishing the basement. Man, I wish I waited until April.
Yeah,
that would have been nice.
But think about it this way. You had a completed basement to enjoy your time in through quarantine.
That's very true. That's very true. And it's my studio. This is where I'm recording from. My fancy basement. And I wouldn't have had a place to play the blues, which I do. I have my little blues corner over there, with my guitars hanging up on the wall and everything. It's really great. Well, another positive that I think was how did we do relationships in new ways? John, you touched on that a little bit about how difficult it was because of your mom being in a care facility. And just so you know, too, and I know the rest of the people that are listening to this know, I mean, our hearts were really hurting for you and for your mother, because I knew that this had to be just super difficult for you as well as for her.
Thank you.
And just really, really tough. But I know with Zoom, I'm surprised at how much I actually kind of like it in a way. Yes, I do like to be in person. Yeah. But I really enjoy the flexibility of it as well. I'll just say it in this way. It's nice to be able to have a meeting at 7 o'clock and to walk downstairs in my basement at 6:55.
Amen. Yes.
Because before I was leaving to get there 20 after 6 or 6:30. And then after the meeting was over at 8 o'clock, you know, talking to people, and it was nice to talk to people and connect with people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
But I find that's like an hour and 15 minute swing that now I get to spend with my wife, which makes her happy.
Yeah.
Using Zoom to be able to learn, to be able to do some meetings has actually not been too bad.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I, as much as I get tired of looking at screens, and as much as I know that it's difficult to have a real in-depth relationship with somebody just using a screen, by the same token, it's a whole lot nicer to, as you just said, Jack, you know, log on 2 minutes beforehand, and when you're done, I'm home. I don't need to drive anywhere. You know, yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing some pre-marriage counseling with the next couple I'm marrying or I'm presiding at over Zoom, because for health reasons and distance reasons, that's going to be what works out best for us. Hopefully, I'll be able to get to know them as well as I would if they were actually in the office. But if we were trying to do stuff in person, we wouldn't, because we wouldn't be able to, we would struggle to find a time when we could all get together. That's what I'm trying to say. So
we've had some committees too that have been full participation.
And
most of the ones that weren't able to make it were the parents, you know, that had little kids. And they weren't able to leave their house and to go for their meeting, but they've been there in the Zoom meetings.
Yep.
I see that, you know, we see the kids running around and they're sitting there on their sofa, engaged and listening to the conversation and then talking as they need to as well. Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Many of my committee members have said that to me.
Yeah.
You know, we should keep doing this even when we can meet in person.
Yeah.
Really utilizing that technology because we seem to be able to keep ourselves moving.
Yeah.
When we are meeting via Zoom.
Yeah. One of the things they're talking about as far as what's the church going to look like in the future is they're talking about this hybrid model, right? Where it's partly going to be in person and it's going to get back to quote unquote normal, whatever that looks like. But it's not going to be normal because we're going to have this online digital piece to it that is not going to go away. You know, like you said, Liz, with the Zoom meetings and connecting in that way. I'm also thinking I told the church council this, that I fully expect our digital service is going to be our largest attended service.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the future. And just understand that this is not going to go away. And as we try to reach out to this community, we're going to have a different, it's not going to be the same. It's going to be very, very different. And we have to think about that community that is tuning in from wherever they happen to be tuning in from. Because it is about building relationships, which brings us all the way back to the beginning and what we wanted to focus, what gifts we learned from 2020, the idea of being able to pivot and being able to see this online presence as a positive, focusing on the things that really matter and the people that are, especially the people that are important to us, our family, our close friends, and taking care of ourselves and those relationships and how those relationships can come to us in new ways. I know you all have been very important in helping our Facebook presence and sharing your thoughts and connections. Probably the best one I ever did was I didn't even say any of my own words. I did prayer at the close of the day, comp line, and it was a little prayer service. It took about 5 minutes. And I know that some people really enjoy just being able to close out their day with prayer in that way. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us for this first episode of Trinity Lutheran Church's podcast, Good Things Come in Threes. We're really excited that you were a part of that. And we hope you'll join us. Our plan is to do this every other week to start out. So put out two podcasts a month, roughly. And they'll probably be around this long, you know, sometimes a little shorter, sometimes a little longer, depending on what the topic is. But again, we're just really pleased that you have joined us, and we hope you join us for the next time. So until next time, remember,
share the good,
be the good,
seek the good, because good things
come in threes.
All right, Pastor Liz, would you like to lead us out in a blessing?
Sure. May the Lord bless you and keep you forever. Amen.
Amen.